All right. It's so good to see our families and friends get together to worship with one heart. And this is around that season when friends and families share their loves in Christ Jesus. And speaking of the season of love, it is very timely. For those who are visitors, we at Jubilee, we actually have this Bible reading schedule that we're following. And it's very timely that we are just starting this book of 1 John, because it's timely because this Apostle John is actually called the Apostle of Love. And what better passage can you pick, especially at the season of love? So love is the main topic, as you can expect, of today's passage. And I'd like to point you to a couple of verses. Verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." In verse 11, it says, "Beloved, we ought to love one another." You know, I can guarantee that with the love message, you will be welcomed by pretty much anyone, anywhere. For example, if you're curious, you can actually check the Billboard music chart. Majority of the songs are actually about love, and it's probably because love is such a relatable topic to everyone. Regardless of our age, gender, ethnicity, any backgrounds, love is something that we experience day in and day out. Between lovers, between husband and wife, between parents and kids, you know, love is just something you can find everywhere. And I guess it shows that deep down in all of our hearts, there is this desire for love. We want to be loved, and we want to love. But what do you mean? What do we mean when we say love? That's our question. It seems like we all have some idea of what love is and what love could be, yet it often feels like we know so little about it. Since so many people say so many different things about love, and it's often really hard to grasp what this love thing really is. Is it just an emotion? Is it something that's up in the air, something abstract? So when you have questions about something, it is always a good idea to go to the origin. For example, if you have questions about what a deep dish pizza should taste like, you can't just stay in Philly, right? You got to go. You have to go to Chicago and check out the Lou Malnati's or the Giordano's, whichever you prefer. Likewise, to all of us who have so many questions about love, we need to turn to where it originates. And verse 7 tells us that love is from God. It points us to the mystery of the Trinity, the triune God. The three persons in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one. And here is where love has originated from. And as a matter of fact, our passage goes ahead and clearly and boldly states in verse 8 that God himself is love. It's not just stating that God has love, but it's saying God himself is love. Now, take notice that it does not say love is God. No, it says God is love, meaning love is God's character. So for us, love is, you know, part of what we are, since we are composites of many characters, including love. But God is different. For God, he is not composed of many imperfect or finite characters, meaning all God's characters, including his love, is infinitely perfect. In other words, when we say God is love, it means his love is infinitely perfect, and therefore only he himself, God himself, can fully define what love is. On our side, the only way we can grasp love is by being in relationship with God, who himself is love. All right, is everyone following? Youth group? I know it's not an easy message, but Just hang in there, hang in there. You'll see what happens. So some of you may say, is this necessary? Can't we just love? Why all the complications going through the truth and the message? Why can't we just love? Well, I think that is what exactly happened to these people whom Apostle John was writing to. Now, let me give you some background. To these believers, loving one another was not something new to them. Rather, they were used to listening to such Christian messages. And in chapter 3, verse 11, it actually says, you know, this is something that you have heard from the beginning, meaning they are well aware of this message of love. Now, what was happening to them was that, as the beginning of chapter 4 actually shows us, false prophets, false teachers were on the rise, and they were distorting the biblical truths concerning Jesus by teaching that Jesus is purely spirit, so that only temporarily he came in flesh. And they were denying Jesus' humanity, that he is truly man while also truly God. Because these false teachers were becoming more and more influential, believers, on the other hand, were more and more marginalized. Many of them were beginning to lack assurance of the gospel that they learned and they received from Apostle John, and they were losing faith in the gospel. They were probably giving in, saying, oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay to just compromise. Maybe we can just love without, you know, holding on to any truth. They were in a dire need of being reassured of the gospel, the truth that they already believe in. And this is the main purpose of this whole book of 1 John. As it states in chapter 5, verse 13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, friends, isn't this the temptation that we face all the time? As Christians, we face this every day. This world, it's not going to cease pushing us to give up on our Christian doctrines and biblical teachings under the universal umbrella, quote unquote, of love. The world will say, you know, don't worry about the truth. Just love each other. You know what? Such love, or whatever you call it, love, it is not the love that our passage is speaking of. Brothers and sisters, love is inseparable from truth. Let me state that again. Love cannot be separated from truth. And it is impossible for love to exist in a vacuum without the truth. Well, I do not mean that, you know, unbelievers cannot love one another. By God's general grace, you know, general revelation, even people who do not know God do experience love. I mean, as we all know, you know, they fall in love with someone and get married. They love their kids or their parents. They love their friends. This still happens to all the unbelievers, as we experience. But. Without the truth of God, they are merely scratching the surface of it without tasting the real love you can have or you can find only in the originator. So this is why the flow, if you haven't paying attention to the flow of chapter 3 and 4, you kind of get it that it's very unique. Because John, you know, he talks about he talks about loving one another. And then in the middle, like in chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, all of a sudden he speaks about the gospel truth, saying, you know, you got to discern the spirit. And then, this comes right in between the two passages, front and back, that speaks about loving one another. Why? I think it's exactly because of this reason. You cannot love without the truth of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot just love. Without knowing and believing in Jesus Christ, there is no love. As verse 7 says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, the problem is that the possibility of us just naturally loving one another, guess what the possibility would be? What percentage that would be? It is zero. Because of our sinfulness, we suppress the truth of God instead of seeking it. And instead of coming into his light, we hide in the darkness, which is what Adam and Eve did when they first sinned. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. There is no way we would naturally relate to God with our abilities unless something is done for us by God. Unless God intentionally reveals his love to us in a very special way, we will never know his love. That's the fact. That's the reality. We will rather go against this God. We would rather choose to be enemies of this God than trying to know about his love or loving him. Now, verse 9, it says, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So this was a very special way God made very clear of his love for us by sending Christ Jesus, the only Son of God, by sending him as fully God and fully man into this world, being incarnated. Jesus, the Logos, who was from eternity. This is Christ, our Savior, who John have seen and have looked upon and have touched. And this is the Jesus, the very special way that God has provided for you and me. Now think about this. God, who is not man, you know, God who is different from us, God who is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, this God has chosen to become fully man so that he may be among us. This is an amazing thing, if you actually think about it. But this was not enough. In verse 10, it says, God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, you know, the term may sound difficult, but basically means satisfaction. So Jesus, the Son of God, by becoming the sacrificial lamb on the cross, satisfied the wrath of God that we ourselves deserve due to our own sins. He who knew no sin became sin on that cross just for us. And this is how God expressed his love for us by sending us his Son, Jesus, to us so that through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, we may have eternal life in him. And this is his love fully made manifest to us. And this is how God has reconciled the broken relationship between us and him. And for this reason, a child is born to us. The Son of God is given, whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Dear friends and families, are you truly rejoicing, savoring this message of Jesus coming to us? God's love, which is infinitely beyond anything that we can imagine, is revealed to you and me in Jesus. Jesus, who came to us just so that we may not die, but live eternally through him. He is the Messiah, the Emmanuel, because of this amazing invitation to God's children, now we also can take up our own cross to love our neighbors as ourselves, because the love that God poured on us is so great.